Episode 5 of Dark Star Astrology Podcast with your host Marina Caruso. Right, well this week we're back to normal and we will start with the full moon of July the 15th. So no more eclipses, we're out of the eclipse season, we can relax a little bit, but not quite because the full moon is squared by Eris. Been looking at our site, you will see that I have been studying the charts of psychopaths and found that Eris figured pretty strongly, and which was quite disturbing for me because I like Eris. She is to me the Lilith of the outer planets, so she warrants more study, and I will do a special on Eris looking at her discovery chart very soon. But anyway, let's look at how she works with this full moon and see if we can understand a little bit more about her. Now, the full moon is at 22 degrees Capricorn and it falls on the fixed star Sulafat in the Lyre, and of course it squares Eris. Now, as I said, she has featured quite heavily in my research into psychopaths, and I think she may represent the scapegoat. So, like Eris, psychopaths do take the rap for all our inner demons, and we can sort of conveniently brand someone a psycho and then smugly feel good about ourselves if we don't, you know, are not showing the symptoms. But then the question that bothered me was why? You know, why does nature dish out these predators, and as it seems that they are parasites? You know, there is a purpose. You know, we often sort of think, well, what is the purpose of a fly? These bothersome creatures, and you know, why do we have fleas? But anyway, the discovery of Eris and the fact that I found that she was guiding me to see this kind of psychopathic trait in all of us. I mean, we all have an Eris in our charts. So I found Eris as something very handy to help spot. Well, if there is such a thing. If it can be a guide to help you spotting a psychopathic trait, I don't know. But, you know, this is what we use astrology for, otherwise what's the point of it? So I think Eris has helped us see this now, for me anyway, and but then there's a sort of thing about, well, what's the difference between Eris and Pluto, because they're both Plutinos, really, and when you sort of study them, you know, the fact that she's the queen of the underworld and Pluto's the king of the underworld, well, you know, what is it about Eris that pushes us even further down into the demonic pit? Well, I think it's because simply that Eris is a female and bears children. So she has a very similar feel to Kali, the archetype of the angry mother in Hindu mythology. So now I'm thinking, as long as the evils of the world are represented by the ruthless male, well, the male god Pluto, really, women and enlightened feminine men can distance themselves from the Plutonic bloodshed in the world and just say it's nothing to do with them. But as I said at the end of the last eclipse post, maybe this is the birth of recognising how we polarise and demonise our shadow selves, and that eclipse could herald the start of a journey to real understanding of the evil twin that lives inside all of us. And so this full moon coming after the eclipse just really continues the story, really. So the moon is on Salafat, which, as I said before, is in the constellation of the Lyre. Now, the Lyre is a small portable harp. It was also the Emperor Nero's rising star, and he was rather fond of playing the lyre himself. So he's one of these characters who has been demonised as well. And Nero means Nero, it's black in Italian. So I have a certain fascination with him. And what I sort of see about it, you know, he famously fiddled while Rome burnt. So we have to ask ourselves with this moon, you know, do we fiddle while Rome burns? Do we sprinkle fairy dust and bathe the baddies in white light, and we're the good guys and they're the bad guys, and we're the light and they're the dark, and we're sending them lots of white light and we can cure them? But I don't think anything will change unless we realise that this kind of darkness must be in all of us, otherwise these people wouldn't exist. I firmly believe if things exist, it must be the collective's fault somehow. So, to quote Einstein, I think, we can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking that we used when we created them. So, you know, these problems in our society were created by a thinking pattern and mindset that we all share. We all do it. But luckily, I think we're all starting to wake up, let's hope, and realise that the small things we do every day that kind of continue this darkness, really. And when we're in the dark and we can't see the dark in ourselves, then it's just going to continue, isn't it? So that's why I am fascinated by these sort of unsavoury characters. And some people sort of say, well, you know, why isn't this a bit of an unhealthy obsession? But I just think, well, we can't ignore them and we can't be frightened to look at them, because some of it is in us. It must be said. It must be in us for them to exist. Now, the big aspect pattern this month is the Pluto trine Jupiter, which is the backdrop to all of this. And this is, you know, big wealth, multi-millionaires. But if you look at the chart, the Pluto arm has a load of planets bearing down on it, and they're all the sort of Neptune, Chiron, Ceres. So I would say that's like the religious groups and the morality brigade bearing down on it, and saying, you know, you must be seen to be ethical. Now, a really good example of this whole moon, really, is the News of the World and the whole scandal of the phone hacking. Now, anyone outside of Europe might not, well, even outside the UK might not know about this paper, but the News of the World is one of those papers that is actually one of the biggest selling papers in the world. At one time it had 8 million regular readers every Sunday. And it's been going for about 160 years, so it's a big deal that it's been taken off. And it's owned by Rupert Murdoch. Oh, I nearly said murder. It's part of News International. So the News of the World has become Murdoch's sacrificial lamb, and in effect his heiress. The hypocritical behaviour of the elite will continue, I think, to be exposed by this square. Now, Mars is conjunct the fixed star Rigel in Orion. Now, Orion is one of the biggest, well, most important constellations in the sky. He's known as, I mean, he's the hero, but he's also the god as well. And he's also supposed to represent Osiris too. So this star is in the foot of Rigel, and it also represents the foot that got stung by the scorpion sent to Orion by Gaia, the earth goddess, as punishment for his arrogance. He actually boasted that he could slay every single animal on earth, so Gaia thought she'd take this god down a peg or two and show him that he's not as mighty as he thinks. So that's quite apt for this whole bringing down the News of the World But does it go further? Are we going to this poison that we've found in this system? How far does it go? Does it go through, run through the whole of News International? Does it run through the whole of the news indeed? So how much of this, of the media is poisoned? That's what we need to know. And how much of it is going to be brought down by this scorpion? Then another influence that is coming on as well, that carries on from the Alhina solar eclipse, is the Gemini influence, because Alhina is the star in the middle of the two twins. And for this full moon, the sun, which is obviously opposite the moon, is on the tricky evil twin Pollux. And then the card that I picked was the Seven of Swords. I always pick a tarot card with these. And it always ties in. It's unbelievable. The Seven of Swords represents Lepus, which is the hare constellation. The tarot cards that I use, by the way, are the Celestial Tarot, which are very much infused with astrological symbolism, as well as the constellations. You also get things like, for example, the Ace of Swords is Venus in Libra. The Fool is Uranus, just going through them now. Prince of Wands is Jupiter in Sagittarius. So it's all very much the same language, which is very useful for an astrologer. So the connection is, with this reading, is that the hare constellation actually falls directly under the feet of Orion. Now, the hare is another trickster archetype. It ducks and dives, it slips in and out of the lunar shadows. And again, this is also mirrored in the twins theme as well. So more tricksters. And also there's this feel again of the mighty god being tripped up by something very small, like the hare under his feet, and also, of course, the scorpion as well, the scorpion sting, which, of course, was the theme carrying on from the last lunar eclipse, which was on Lesath, the sting and the scorpion. So, personally, in a chart, you really need to see what character hits what in your own chart. Are you the giant? Is someone trying to bring you down, some little person? In which case, you would have something probably conjunct or squaring the Mars in the chart, in which case you just have to keep your wits about you, watch what you're treading on. If you've got anything at 22 degrees cardinal, I would imagine that you're feeling quite crucified at the moment, and you may well be the sacrificial lamb, you may be the heiress for everyone right now. Just keep strong. Because the good side of this could also be that you, your time has come, and this is the making of you as well. So there's a lot of different influences going on with this moon. I guess it really all depends on where it falls on the cross. Like if you've got something where the moon is itself, I would absolutely think that you probably, this would work out for the best. But if you have something where Eris is, well, you're going to be experiencing an Eris transit. And I'd actually really love to know what that feels like. If it's right on, if you've got a sun or moon at 22 degrees Aries, you're going to be feeling Eris. Let me know. Let me know how that's going, because I've got Mercury at 21 Capricorn. So I'm getting Eris squaring my Mercury right now. Maybe I'm going to be the voice of Eris for a while, or become the scapegoat, I don't know, but we'll see. Anyway, that would explain my fascination, actually, come to think of it. Anyway, on with the show. If the sun of this chart connects to something in your own chart, then of course you'll be playing the evil twin Pollux. But there's yet another layer as well, because there is also an oceanic flavour to this moon too. Because let's look at the asteroids now. The moon is conjunct asteroid Eunike, which is a sea nymph, and asteroid Venetia, which is the Latin for Venice, the famous city of water. So That's interesting, and also that it's opposite Varuna. Now, this is a trans-Neptunian, and I'm not that familiar with them. I don't use them in my work at all. But Varuna is a Hindu water god, and most of the trans-Neptunians are. What I gather is that it has a real sort of... has the sort of huge awesomeness of a whale. It's supposed to have a feel of it being all-knowing, all-seeing in the background. A real gentle giant that isn't aggressive in any way, but my God, if you get caught in its... you get swallowed by it, or the current that it creates, I guess, you could be in real trouble. So there is a real subtle danger that you may not be aware of on the surface. I think that's probably the best way to describe it. Then on the other side of this sun on Varuna, you've got the Venice asteroid and the sea nymph as well. So to me, that seems like an almost naive gondola bobbing up and down next to a massive whale. And you can just imagine the consequences there, really, can't you? So the real sort of Neptune romanticised, foggy romantic haze. In that haze, you get the mermaid, who, of course, the sirens, who would entice the sailors to their deaths. And I think this is what, this is how Varuna administers her punishment. So what will happen is she sucks you down into the depths and kills you if we haven't kept our word, we've lied, or we haven't honoured a contract. And Varuna is said to punish liars. So this is not going to be good for trickster characters, really. I think they'll just suddenly find themselves completely out of their depth. And you'll see them scurrying back to dry land. But in all of this, really, the key player is Eris, because as you can see, she's also conjunct another dark goddess, True Lilith, which I see as a kind of more the bridge to... If Chiron is the bridge to the outers, then I think Lilith, for me, is the bridge to the Plutinos, really, and Eris and Pluto. So she's helping Eris really pass the messages on, and together they're pulling the strings of that big blue whale of Varuna and the romantic Venetian moon. The imagery I sort of see for this is like, it's really the Venetian moon playing a lyre floating on a gondola with, you know, the deep blue sea not far away, and, you know, like a big whale coming in and rocking the whole thing. So it can be quite, it's quite dreamy, really. Of course, Venice is the most romantic city in the world, or known as. So Eris is mediating all this. Now, is she going to rock the gondola or poke the whale just for fun, or is she going to be sensible about this? So I said right at the beginning that Eris is apt to be made into a scapegoat. But often the problem with Eris is that she doesn't do herself any favours by forever playing the joker and also hoping the universe might read something meaningful out of her puzzling behaviour. But I think what's happened is unexpectedly she's been passed the reins of power, and now this is a golden opportunity to show the world what she's made of. So I think we have a real opportunity to learn to understand what Eris means here. And also this is the time for projects that were originally thought of to weigh out, to suddenly find their time, and suddenly it's like, okay, and they seem to totally fit the requirements for whatever is needed. So it's an interesting T-square. It's a funny mix of the fiery sort of passionate warrior queen energy of Eris, but who's quite icy, because out there in Pluto land it is very icy. It's almost like, I was just thinking, it occurs to me, it's like the sort of gigantic, it's very Titanic really in imagery, because you've got the romance of the gondolas bobbing up and down, and then you've got this massive iceberg of Eris who rips into the side of the romantic ocean liner. So, you know, is Eris going to bring down a Titanic? I don't know. I think to try and summarize all this sort of various dramas around this moon would probably be, really, do not underestimate the little person. I think that's that sums it up quite well. Someone that you always thought was a bit of a joke may just come up and surprise you. All right then, let's go on to the 2 weeks ahead till the next moon, and look at the celestial weather. Okay, today is the 10th of July and the sun is still in the constellation of Gemini. It's actually on the hand of Pollux, the evil twin, right this minute. And now, at the end of last week, I did say that there was quite a, looks like there was going to be a groovy party on Saturday night for some people, and a bit of matchmaking, some intense love feelings coming up, welling up. So today you might be nursing a bit of a hangover, just recovering from whatever intenseness arose, maybe even arguments as well. Because if the passion wasn't used up in the bedroom, of course, Mars will raise the passions and anger as well. So there could be a bit of lovers' tiffs going on yesterday if it wasn't put into some better use. We have no aspects really until Tuesday. So until then, we've got the moon hovering around Libra, in the constellation Libra. So, I mean, the focus really is on relationships, I think, and any fallout from whatever happened on Saturday night, you might be wondering, you know, what to do and how to divide your time between certain people and try and harmonise or smooth over whatever acrimony came up yesterday. Now, Monday is very interesting because after it's been through the generally considered harmonious and just sign of Libra, the moon is sitting between two stars that I found to be rather psychotic, shall we say, and that's Acrab and Juba, which are in the claws of Scorpio. Actually, they are, it's weird, on some diagrams they put them in the claws, other diagrams of Scorpio they say it's on the forehead. So anyway, watch out on Monday, because I think there could be a theme of vengeance in the air, and getting even for whatever happened at the weekend. Then on Tuesday we get Mercury sextile Mars, so that's ideal for saying what's on your mind and clearing the air without fear of causing upsets, which I think we need to do after the last few days. It will give us sharp mind, lively conversations, constructive debates, and also because Mars is sexy, you may also find it easier to express your desires for someone and woo them with sexy words. Mercury is positioned on this day on the claw of Cancer the Crab, which is nearest the star Acubens. Now this is called the sheltering of hiding place, and it does give activity but also malevolence, and anyone born with this is supposed to be a liar and a criminal. So it's a bit of a jumpy star, apparently. It gives a jumpy and unbalanced nature. So maybe I would say this day might be a good day to deal with people who are quite difficult and jumpy, And you might be able to, with the sharp mind that this brings actually, suss out whether they're lying or not. Because the positive side of this star is a sharp intellect and coming to grips with problems. So that's, I think this bodes very well for dealing with difficult people. Yes, don't wait till Wednesday to deal with these difficult people, because then you get, Wednesday the 13th of July, you get Venus square Saturn, which can just mean you have to smile, say please and thank you when you really don't want to. There could be tension in love relationships that could surface about responsibilities, commitments or boundaries. And there could be serious issues that need a practical and sensible approach. Caution and reserve with money is advised on Wednesday. Venus, sidereal-wise, is also in the middle of the twins as well, coming quite near the sun too. So there is that thing about, again, communication and trying to find a middle way, I would think, because she's actually in between both Castor and Pollux as well. Thursday is the day before the full moon. No aspects really happening, but you might be feeling the effects of it early. The moon is still in sidereal Sagittarius on its way to Capricorn. And of course at the full moon we can feel energies coming to a head. It looks like during the week there's been a few issues of communication and things to be debated. So you will feel those welling up really. And begging for resolution. Monday the 18th of July, the moon is in the middle of the constellation Aquarius, so it's going to get the influence of all the very psychic stars around then, Fermerholt being the main one. So yes, just also because, well, Neptune's in Aquarius as well, so it's going to be fairly, at some point it's going to conjunct Neptune. So I would say meditation, music, mystical studies, all those are really well starred when the moon is in the middle of constellation Aquarius and so near Neptune too. Tuesday the 19th of July, we get the sun conjunct Procyon, which is the little dog Canis Minor. He sort of sits in between the Gemini twins and Cancer. Now this is a dog that barks before the arrival of Sirius. So this is the sort of minor dog, a little yappy, one of those toy dogs, annoying toy dogs really. So on this day, it's got a bit of a frivolous reputation. So this is probably a really sort of the day not to do anything serious. Probably just watch rubbish TV, go shopping and buy rubbish, and just not take anything too seriously, really. And if anybody says anything as well, I mean, this might be a day where somebody cries wolf, makes a big drama out of absolutely nothing. So while they're yapping at you, just bear in mind that there's this influence today. Actually, that influence will probably carry on for a couple of days as well. The 21st is an interesting day as far as visual astrology goes, because the moon is conjunct Uranus and also Ceres. They're all pretty near each other and they're all lining up with Alginib, which is the wing of Pegasus. I mean, the moon and Ceres and Uranus all together looks like some sort of unusual domestic arrangement, and this could be to do with could be sort of custody issues with a child. It could be to do with your own domestic arrangements within your marriage with your husband. Something to do with doing unconventional stuff in the home, really. Now, Alginib is a bit of a funny star because it's got sort of good points and bad points. Robson says it gives notoriety, dishonor, violence, misfortune. And denotes the poor beggar, poor professional beggar. But Elspeth Ebertine says it's penetrating mind and a strong will. Because the energy in the air really is of pushing things a bit too far. And the moon doesn't like being pushed out of its comfort zone. Uranus being there too is just going to make it more like an agitator. Moon and Ceres is the smothering mother, so this could be a very domineering, possessive parent who isn't going to really shift. So this is a kind of red alert day for family discussions, I think. Then just to take us to the end of the forecast period, the 23rd and the 24th look better days because the moon will have moved right out of that zone, the danger zone, and probably make a nice conjunction with Jupiter at the weekend. And also the sun will have moved into the constellation of Cancer, which is of course a very family orientated constellation. And things, I think, will just have settled down domestically by then, and it's just time to enjoy the weekend with your kids and just generally relaxing and not doing anything too demanding of the brain, I think. Also, on that weekend we get the three-quarter moon at zero Taurus, so yeah, just a kind of winding down before the new moon. Just take things easy and don't push anything really. Alright then, well, I'll see you in 2 weeks' time now, back to the normal arrangements, always on a Sunday. And I'll leave you with a song I wrote about 4 years ago called Angel Friend, Demon Lover, which describes really for me Castor and Pollux, the twins. Okay then, until 2 weeks' time. You have been listening to Dark Star Astrology Podcast with your host Marina Caruso from London. All the best. Enjoy the next 2 weeks. Bye-bye.